This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris again, and we are back with Steve Glenn, and he is the founder and CEO of Plant Prefab. And while the last show we talked a lot about accessory dwelling units, I'm very excited to talk about the future of housing, and I think, Steve, you know a lot about this. You've been building LEED-certified homes in one of the hardest states to build and to manufacture in the country. How far has things come since when you started?
Well, tremendous amount. I mean, we started really in 2006, which was a year and change before the worst real estate downturn since the Great Depression. So it was not an excellent time to be starting a real estate business, home building business, home design business. But we got through it, got very busy, and we've certainly seen a substantial increase in our business, and the home market in general, of course, is rebounded pretty substantially since the downturn.
You know, I really didn't think about that. You survived through the downturn. You're a very different product, and a lot of builders packed up shop, if not going out of business. How did you survive that time?
Well, several things. First, I tend to be frugal as an entrepreneur, so that helps. We were lucky in that we had a number of projects that didn't cancel, so that helped. Had raised some money, so we had a little bit of money to kind of get us through. We made sacrifices at times, very challenging period, particularly to make payroll. We were definitely for years, not just months, really living, month to month invoicing, which is to say, if we didn't get monies for invoices we had issued, we weren't paying. We weren't getting paid. So
wow. Well, I think it says a lot that you're still around. And who would you say your core audience is for the prefab homes that you're building?
Unfortunately, I can't say there's a core audience. I mean, in general, and I have to make a distinction between, as a company, Plant Prefab designs and constructs. We design through our design studio, Living Homes, and we construct at our factory. The factory is mostly building for other architects. In other words, we're doing a number of Living Homes projects, but most of the projects are for other architects, actually, the majority of whom have never even done a prefab. With the Living Homes clients, they tend to really be into design. I mean, we have a strong point of view about design. Now we work with a number of architects like Ray Cappy and Eve Bahar and Jaron Timberlake, but they all share kind of a focus on warm modernism.
I would definitely say so. Your product is beautiful. Has that always been sort of the design aesthetic that you perceived from the beginning of what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I mean, at Living Homes, we had as a thesis that there was a large and growing number of people who really appreciated modern design and also healthy and sustainable design. And that market was underserved. Certainly the production home builders, the KB Homes and RS Pulte, Centex of the world, weren't building for those folks who were variously called the cultural creatives.
You definitely just brought up two different words that interesting. I'd really only sort of run into the healthy phenomenon more specifically this year at the Consumer Electronics Show. KB Homes was there launching a product, and the word healthy keeps coming up, and they are separating it from sustainability. Can you talk a little bit about what the difference is? Because I think it's we're going to be seeing the word healthy a lot more in the coming years.
Yeah, it's a big difference. Sustainability has to do with ecological footprint, how much energy you use, how much water, the kind of materials you use, are they recycled, are they recyclable, carbon emissions involved in the creation of your materials. That's all about environmental impact. Health is a measure of indoor air quality, whether there are any toxic compounds that get off gas or otherwise integrated in the materials in your home. And then there are other things that some people track in this domain that have to do with lighting and indoor air quality are probably the two biggest pieces that get discussed in the context of indoor health.
Lighting as far as the temperature of the lighting, the foot candles?
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we're really looking at that. And then, I mean, you've been on the bleeding edge of LEED certification, and a lot of our audience does renovations, and a lot have moved into creating square footage as part of the strategy in a very competitive environment, especially here in California. So Title 24 isn't always something that we have to deal with, but I mean, you were the first platinum LEED certified prefab property. Is that correct? In the U.S.?
No, we were the first home ever to be certified platinum of any kind.
Of any kind, okay.
Not prefab or stick built, of any kind.
And I don't know exactly what that means, and I don't think people would know necessarily off the top of their head. What does that include?
So LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. It's a green building certification program that was started by the nonprofit United States Green Building Council. It's a point-based system, so you get points that make your homes more energy efficient, water efficient, better indoor air quality, less carbon. And based on those points, you can get certified or silver or gold or platinum. Platinum is their highest level of certification. Our first home was the first home ever to be certified LEED Platinum. I think we've had 27 homes certified platinum since, which is more than most any design firm.
Well, from what I understand, it's very expensive. It's definitely probably is not going to fall into the affordable housing category, at least in the short term.
You know, it turns out more and more, thankfully, more energy and water efficient building products are increasingly no more expensive than non-sustainable materials, or at least certainly higher quality materials. It's definitely the case that doing a platinum level is going to be more expensive than just the cheapest possible home. But the prices for responsible materials is coming down pretty dramatically.
That's good to hear. Well, I was reading a Medium article about your company, and as if platinum LEED certification wasn't enough, you sort of have another philosophy that you call Z6. So is that really on the design side of things or the manufacturing side, or is it a blend of the two? Where does that live?
Yeah, more on the design side. So, you know, LEED is a great objective third-party measure of your environmental program, of your health program. But because it's a point-based system and because it's objective and measured and third-party, it's a good way of being able to compare what you're doing to others and, frankly, of, you know, keeping yourself honest. However, it is a point-based system. And because of that, to a certain degree, it can be gamed. And, you know, maybe that's too strong a word, but under a number of circumstances, you can create a LEED platinum level home without any renewable energy, which we just think is weird. So we created a program that we use internally. We call it Z6 because it really directly addresses the six major environmental and health imperatives. We'd like to be able to impact very directly, kind of sets easy goals, like get down to zero non-renewable energy use, get down to zero water for irrigation. So it makes it really clear. And the point is, I mean, we haven't hit zero on all our measures yet, and we may never, but the point is to just try to minimize that as much as possible. So The Z6 is zero energy, zero water, zero carbon, zero waste, zero emission, and then zero ignorance. So energy and water have kind of two sides to them. You want to minimize what you use. So we want to minimize energy. We want to minimize water use as much as possible. Now, the water use thing is we're talking about places like most of California where water is scarce, and we want to responsibly source what we use. So for energy, we want to do things to reduce energy use, and then we want to get our power from renewable resources. On the water side, minimize water use, and then reclaim through a gray water system, water for irrigation. Carbon and waste, you want to think carefully about source materials. Are they recyclable? How much energy is used in their creation? For emissions, we want to reduce or eliminate bad indoor air quality. And then zero ignorance. So you can do many things that will impact all of these measures. But if people who live in your homes aren't responsible about their energy use, you're going to have a large ecological footprint. So what can we do to make people more aware of their energy and resource use? So that's the Z6.
I like this framework. I think it's a good roadmap to sort of where we're going in building as well. Is there any of these categories where you see some exciting development that you think will be adopted that hasn't gone mainstream yet, like the solar tiles for Tesla, batteries inside homes? What are you seeing?
Lots of things that aren't mainstream. That's a big word, but more and more people are using solar. And by the way, a critical part isn't that you're using tiles. Actually, panels are more efficient. Obviously, some people just don't like the look. Gray water should be ubiquitous in regions of low water use. It's just a complete no-brainer. So gray water is using sink, shower, bath water, washing machine, dishwasher, using that water for irrigation. So it's a second set of pipes. And it's just an absolute no-brainer because it's just an enormous amount of water that you can divert from sewers and use for plants instead of having to use potable water. It's a complete no-brainer.
It's been interesting. I have a lot of people in my life that are in the utility business, and it's, I don't know if it's a conflict of interest and it's a money thing. So the utilities aren't so excited about putting in the purple pipes and offering rebates for the gray water. So it's interesting. Do you get a sense that maybe that's where the hesitation is coming from, or just the consumer doesn't care enough? I don't know.
Are you asking why isn't gray water more ubiquitous?
Yeah, because it's been around for a while. I just am surprised it hasn't caught on, especially in California with the recent drought.
It costs more. You have to put a second set of piping in. Mm. Lots of areas don't make it easy to license, frankly, because of ill-informed health codes, which just they're hasn't been a ton of research. Yeah, combination of those things. And then, yeah, consumer demand, just not necessarily being educated about it or, you know, frankly, caring enough about it.
I like that your Z6 really didn't talk about technology per se. Built-in home, smart home technology, it sort of feels like the race into the home from Amazon to Google Home. Are you sort of agnostic when it comes to technology inside the home? Or I guess as a property owner, I'm a little hesitant with technology right now on the security side across the board. It doesn't matter, you know, which company it is. Do you see on your side a lot of consumers demanding a lot more smart home tech?
Absolutely.
Really? Yeah. Is there specific systems that they want more than others? Is it just the thermostat, or they want to be able to say things out loud and the home adjusts accordingly?
Don't get that as much, but definitely, front door, definitely, you know, ring system, something like that. Definitely smart thermostats. But most of our clients, certainly for the higher end homes, are doing pretty complete AV and home automation systems. But, you know, so when I say we, I mean Living Homes is the design side, because I can't speak about what the other architects we're working with are doing. We're integrating a bunch of smart tech anyway. I mean, we, you know, Ring doorbells and Nests, and, we took investment from Amazon last year, so you can expect we'll be doing some more substantial stuff with them. So.
That's actually how I was turned on to you. And I was very excited that you were local in California. And it's interesting that they would invest in housing. Do you get a sense as why, or are they just wanting to test some stuff with smart home?
I think they saw an opportunity. I mean, they liked our business. They felt we could learn from each other and help each other. And so I assume that's why they invested. And yeah, we're talking to them about doing a number of fun things in the future.
Well, what does the home over the next, what should we expect over the next 10 years? What do you see for the industry?
Well, I think more and more homes will be built offsite. I think homes certainly, thankfully, will be built in a more energy and water efficient way. And I hope they'll be built in a healthier way too. I'm not totally sure about that part, but if consumers continue to be increasingly concerned about these things, then absolutely. I hope through people like us and others, we'll see greater affordability. We'll see greater, more accessible design, which is to say, you know, homes that are well designed, making that more accessible to people. Those are some things I think we'll see.
Do you think?
I think we'll see smaller homes. I think that's going to be a trend that will continue. I think we'll see cities allowing you to do more dense housing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that design is going to become more affordable? Some of your product on your website is absolutely stunning. Do you think that affordable housing will sometime soon, the cost of also looking awesome will be lower?
Hopefully, because what we and others are doing, we'll be able to get costs down.
Okay.
Make this more efficient.
Robotics and manufacturing. From the rehabber point of view, skilled labor is definitely an issue here in California. And boy, your manufacturing process is really coming in as an important time. How much is robotics going to play into that in the next decade?
I think an increasing amount. Certainly, if you go to Japan, their biggest home builders, the equivalent of the KB Helms and Lennars Pulte's, they're building with robots. Sekisui, Japan's biggest home builder, literally. Robots are building homes, Toyota homes.
Do you have architects coming to you that want to create sort of a plan that can sell, or are you getting a lot more requests for custom builds?
Both.
Both. Okay. It's really sort of neat.
And we're set up, as I think we talked about before, to do custom projects. That's the kind of stuff that happens in cities.
Absolutely. And I mean, a lot of your product on your website absolutely looks custom. It's stunning. Is timeframes. I don't know how to ask this question because I know you do a lot of custom work, but you've got a few standards that you can build. Just trying to compare it to stick build. I forget if we talked about this last time. When something is sort of in your system and you've built it once, does it get faster? Is it faster than stick built?
Absolutely. Yeah, because we build in parallel to the site work.
That's right. Okay. So on average, is there a percentage you can give it on the amount of times that you end up saving?
Generally about half.
Wow. Okay. That is faster. Well, I knew this was going to be the case. Ran out of time. What's the best way that people can get a hold of you and see some of your work?
So plantprefab.com. That's the company. You can also go specifically to the design group and look at Living Homes, livinghomes.net. And you can email us at info@plantprefab.com. We have weekly tours of our factory and a show home we have in Santa Monica. We also have once a month tours of the factory, and all of that's you can find out about it at plantprefab.com.
I definitely plan on doing that. Well, Steve, I really appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll have you back sometime soon. The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE license 01219911, Florida mortgage lender license 1577, and NMLS license 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.